Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Watching Westworld, the officially unofficial podcast for Westworld on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're covering Season 4, Episode 5, titled, I believe it's Shuangza, based on what you said from the pronunciation guide you looked up.
Yeah, Shuangza.
So I'll say it that way.
We'll see. Do you know anything about Shuangza?
I have no fucking idea what that word is.
Well, here's your theory crafting primer. Shuangza is the name of one of the, or perhaps the father of Taoism.
Okay.
Which is
Taoism?
An ancient Eastern philosophy / religion.
Does it have to do
natural
with
order of the universe?
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Where you have to use, your own intuition to discern and realize the potential for your individual wisdom. I'm sure there's going to be lots of interesting things to mine out of that little thing.
Well, what'd you think about Shuangza?
You know, people have been kind of saying it and whispering it. I'm going to say it full-throated. Westworld's back, baby. This was a hell of an episode. This is exactly the kind of shit that I wanted to see in this season. Like, I can't believe how relevant that conversation we had with that philosopher Aaron last week is.
Right.
And, like, how relevant all the culture books and stuff I've been reading. Like, it's this all different ways to grapple with these central issues I think are fascinating. And then there's also this all this drama bound up with the Teddy and the Dolores of it all. Tessa Thompson making a throne out of people and sitting on it? Are you fucking kidding me?
As if I couldn't have hated her character more in this show. Yes. Yeah, she's a real dick.
We've been given praise to the cast as it's due. I don't think we've talked about Tessa Thompson, but she was incredible tonight. Some of those monologues she gave where she's smiling, but she's got dead shark eyes, she's aimed to be one of the all-time great villains.
Sure. Yeah. And I like getting answers to a whole bunch of stuff that we were speculating about. You know, we've kind of discovered the exact nature of Christina's world at this point.
Yep. And it was kind of what a lot of sort of people thought, but not exactly, which is the best kind of staying one step ahead of the internet you can do.
I don't know if I can firmly put a stamp on it yet and say those fucking liars at HBO telling us that Christina's a human are fucking liars, or if I need to wait and see if there's some other wrinkle here, but they're fucking liars. Liars.
Well, the thing is,
I will never trust them again. Liars.
Also, this is why it's always bullshit. Like, the whole source for that line of belief was Evan Rachel Wood saying it's nice to play a character that's human. Okay, that
it's misleading in the worst kind of way,
but I also think it's just a dumbass way to like to put a whole theory on that, like, statement that's debatable either way. It's not backed up by anything in the show. In fact, there's like 10 different lines of evidence pointing the other way.
This is why I prefer never to engage with off-screen content. If it's not on the screen, it doesn't matter.
Right.
That's
got to get on the screen before it becomes canon anyway.
And you
so
can't
fuck it.
Fix a broken show by just like doing a bunch of interviews and explaining it. If
Scott
it's
Gimple
screen,
would be
the
world's best showrunner if you could.
Right.
Right. Unfortunately, that's not the reality we live in. I want to talk about Tessa Thompson's villainy a little bit more, because it's also the best villains, the Magnetos of the world, the Killmongers, always have a point. Like, yeah, the ethical math they're doing, they need to check their result at some point, but like they're on to something. And it's hard to argue that the humans don't have a lot of what's coming to them, because this is just turnabout is fair play. And that's why
I love about it. Yeah, sorry.
And then the other thing is that she's also miserable. This is making her miserable. It's like I just think this is such a great, great villain. I'm really excited, and she's crushing it. What were you going to say?
Yeah, the thing I love about the reveals around William and around her this episode is you feel like this is, I mean, think about it. How old is the consciousness of any of the oldest hosts? Right, like 23 years. It's roughly 23 years old.
When early I was a 23
year old, these are the exact questions I was asking. It feels like a baby consciousness just questioning its own existence, its own place in the universe. Like, what do I do once, like, catching up to humanity, right? Where we've gotten over the last several thousand years. That is so, I don't know. It feels like so kid coming out of college going, what the fuck do I do now? You know?
Yes. I think it's, there's so much. I don't want to get too bogged down in this instant take podcast, because this also is so, the things that they're getting at, the philosophies they're espousing, the frustrations that they're talking about is so applicable to so many types of events or things going on in the world now. I think it's exciting because it provides some interesting, cool ways to talk about. And what's, I think, really striking is that the way that it shows our, like, this isn't Sweetwater. This isn't people running down the streets banging, blah, and there's like, you know, heist going on and there's cannibal Native Americans out in the hills and all. This is just our fucking modern day. And it's played like it is this. It's this dystopia. Like, no one's happy. Everyone's lonely. Connect. We're on these loops that we can't break out of. What, some of us have terminal in. Some of us get this, you know, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. And it's like, it's the first time I've actually seen just like modern day life played as horror. Like, there's no twist. There's no, I mean, I guess the twist is secretly we're under the thrall of an alien intelligence, but like,
sure.
It's really wild, I think.
All that stuff that William is saying, or Man in Black, I need to make a distinction, because there's a human William and a host William, that the Man in Black is saying.
The human William would laugh his ass off at you saying that.
Sure. Like, am I you? Oh, really? You'll never be me.
Yeah, welcome to the center of the maze, pal.
Right. So good. But all that stuff can be applicable to, our modern day. Like, did you actually earn anything that you got? And that conversation, you know, we had with the philosopher last week definitely falls into that, right? The idea of luck as free will or determinism. I think that stuff is fascinating. And they basically go, like, just dive into the deep end here with it.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if people skipped that because they thought, fuck philosophy, man, it turned out to be such a great primer for this episode. And it's one of those things where I've been ruminating about it. I listened to that podcast when I was coming back from Chicago earlier this week. And because I was like, man, I need to run this back. And it's one of those things where I don't fully agree, as I mentioned at the end of the podcast, with the philosophy espoused in that podcast, but it's one of those things where, like, I'm trying to figure out why, like, what is the sticking point? Because the thing, I guess, is I want to hold on to is, like, I do think, as I said many times, I said in that podcast, that, like, quiet moments when we're meditating, that we can affect change upon ourselves. But if that's true, then you're back to moral responsibility. And if you're at moral responsibility, then people get the things that they deserve in large part. And we're kind of justified on make the parts that I think are actively immiserating us, our world, we're kind of stuck with. So, like, I am really kind of trying to wrestle with, like, why do I disagree, or, you know, to what extent I disagree with it. And that's what this is about, you know, like, what do people deserve? What is a meritocracy? What is it to be just?
Yeah, he mentioned a book. I can't remember if it was during that interview or maybe after it when we were chatting, when I asked him for like ideas on stuff to read, and The Meritocracy Trap came up.
Yes.
I really want to read that soon, because, yeah, that's one of the primary concerns is like, can you actually earn anything? You know, mm-hmm. or is it all because like the guy, you know, admits in this, hey, I had a little bit of help, you know, advantage, whatever you want to call it. But I worked my ass off.
Right.
Well, it wouldn't matter how much the other person worked their ass off if they didn't have your quote unquote advantages. So,
yeah, janitors work their ass off.
Right.
Plumbers work their ass off. Kids behind the counter McDonald's work their ass off. Like, yeah, there's also lazy, but like, you know. Hard work doesn't, it's like, yeah, hard work by itself is meaningless. You do have to have a little bit of luck. I mean, we certainly did.
Sure.
You know, we tried to, us same guys try to get in
the, but
exactly. But, yeah, so I think this stuff is exactly what I was hoping to get out of the season of Westworld. This kind of like meditations on these really interesting.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the you know, the plot here also, we get a ton of information about, right? It's not all just themes. We get answers to the questions we've been asking and confirmations of theories.
Which kicks the door open to ever more questions, but that's
right.
And in that's a satisfying the way. Thing.
Yeah. Like I have so many questions beyond this, like, okay, is this Teddy? Like, is this actually Teddy? Why can they not track her? What is, she seems off the leash in a way that so many of the other people aren't, definitely not human.
So let's talk, can we talk about, I think it's a good point to check in about how we feel about Christina's world, because my new operating theory, boy, I can't believe I was wrong. I can't believe I was wrong about robots wanting to come back and fuck with humans.
I love it. Because
they are made in our image. Humanity. They're made in our image. And as we have this, and they've got this very libertine culture where there are no real laws or restrictions. They're just kind of manners, you know, like you should, you mm-hmm. know, you shouldn't be totally selfish and a pig or whatever.
Just respect the place. Yeah.
Yeah. Respect the place, respect the park and its rules. There are no rules, but respect the park. And I wonder, they also talk about ascension, and ascension is part of, is the final step in the game. The game, at least the final level, maybe it is the entirety of the game, is when a human is an outlier. And an outlier is when a human spontaneously casts off the fly leash, the sonic leash that the robots have on them. And they just suddenly, like everything, it's like Apostle Paul, the scales fall from their eyes. They can see the tower. They can hear the music. They understand what's going on. They assign hosts to go and kill them as a game, and whoever arrives at first, and there's rules. You should never talk to the human. There's been 38 failures. Every one of those failures, the host had contact with the outlier before they killed them. And then within days, the host killed themselves.
Yeah.
So there's this like human to host infection that's spreading. Mm-hmm. And they tie into Judas Steer. This episode is beautiful. I felt like it was three episodes worth of Westworld.
Yeah. I can't figure if this is like a physical infection thing or if this is a brainworm, right? Just like an idea.
I think the latter, a meme. Like, it's a pathological meme.
I think so. But I like putting my finger on exactly what it is, I don't know. I probably have to do like a lot of research about Shuangzi, to figure that out. But yeah, I'm super interested in doing that. So
hosts are here for recreation, but the Ascension Project, I wonder if they're also there to like, what do you think? Let me ask you this. What do you think Ascension is? Because I have a theory on that.
So it could be getting into the upper class of hosts. I don't know if there's like a godhood that you ascend to, or it could possibly be that they go to the sublime. That's my bigger guess, is that they have cracked the sublime open and they can put you there.
I thought so too, but when we got into the tower, they were talking, I think, about someone who's undergoing ascension right now, and they carved open that dude's head, took that marble out, and put him inside what looked like if the Riot droids were designed by Steve Jobs.
Uh-huh.
Is this big white construct of a robot. And I think that's a post-human body. Now, yep. I also have cool ideas about, like, what would you do with that post-human body? My guess would be they go to explore space.
Maybe.
Or they live on Earth, but in just this giant hulking iPod body.
I don't know. I mean, if they've cracked open the Sublime, that could just be an interface to the Sublime.
Oh, man, it looked like a frame. But I my first thought until I saw that happening, I thought like, oh, they've either built a parallel Sublime or they have completely cracked into the Sublime and they're uploading people there.
No, it could just be, yeah, a body, but like to what end? You just get a different frame? Like why would that matter?
Well, because like they mentioned that the most hosts are not taking her up on the offers to ascend because they are addicted to the flesh. So there must be some kind of physical, sensual pleasure about being in the flesh that you just don't get when you're in, I don't know, the iPhone, the iPod frame.
Sure. Or the Sublime.
Either or the Sublime.
Apply. Yeah.
But why is Akichin and everybody in there very happy? Or maybe Akichin is a bullshit artist and like 99% of hosts in there are in hell, like we talked about in the feedback episode.
Could be. I don't know. We don't see Akichita except for the very beginning of Bernard's experience in there, right?
Right.
So
right.
Who knows what the Sublime is now?
Yeah, it could be some real fucked up shit.
Yeah. 23,000 years in. Sure.
Or it could be paradise. Uh-huh. It's interesting because I wonder, because there's other possibilities. So if the insertion theory of the ascension is true, that they're putting into the Sublime, I wonder if like when they crack the Sublime, if the Keecha just showed up and be like, yo, we don't want any of you, just any of you assholes in here. Like we're not putting up with wanton rapists and murderers and cruel. Like we just roll a different way. And it seems like Hale has a very admirable, I can't force hosts to do something against their will. So yeah. Like she wouldn't invade the Sublime. They could put conditions. It's like, well, once a host can get to this level of responsibility, they can ascend. That because I just got into that impression when Clementine's given the rundown of this host that's gone off her rocker. She's like, well, she's 2 years old and she's da 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 and she's ready for ascension. Almost like they have to go through like a newborn AI is born. They're inserted in this world. And when they're properly potty trained or something, they move on to the next level. And I feel like that's interesting, like that this world is a doormat that you can kind of wipe the mud off your feet before you go into the Sublime. And you have to prove that you can behave yourself.
Yeah, in what way? Like, what's the definition of behave for the host? I don't really know. What qualities are they looking for in their ascended?
Like I said, I'm only guessing that, like, not, like, being wanton cruelty, trying to, like, weed that part out. But
perhaps. Although Charlotte herself is extraordinarily cruel. You look at the piano player, you look at the dancing scene, you look at the throne of humans. That is extraordinarily cruel, though to a species she views as lesser.
Hear the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming up sooner than you think. And to get us all back in that Leal state of mind, Aaron and I have teamed up with Maester Anthony to bring you coordinated coverage, new and old. For the next 10 weeks leading up to Season 2, Maester Anthony will be releasing an episode of his Season 1 coverage on the Hot D podcast. He originally recorded and released it exclusively on his Double Dragon podcast, so while it's retro coverage, it's almost certainly new to you.
In addition, each Friday, Jim and I will be reading the relevant sections of George Martin's Targaryen history book, Fire and Blood, so that we can compare and contrast it to that week's episode of Hot D Season 1. So grab a copy of Fire and Blood and read along with us if you're so inclined. Just don't read ahead unless you enjoy spoilers.
If that's not enough to satisfy your craving for fantasy entertainment, well, you're in luck. We recently watched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's uniquely stylish and anachronistic riff on the King Arthur legend. Yes, Guy Ritchie took on the most famous of all English legends and did it with huge ambitions. Sadly, or perhaps thankfully, depending on your tastes, his ambitions were cut short by meager audience interest. Join us for the podcast this Tuesday as we discuss why that might have been and whether this retelling is any good.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R. R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
My thought when I was listening to her and William have that debate when she's sitting on her throne of people was, well, if Ascension's so cool, why don't you do it?
Right.
Yeah. Like maybe you come back, like maybe she gets re-encased in flesh every time. And then she says, I hate coming. Oh, she does say I hate coming here.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. All those bodies she was printing were just hail bodies for that inevitability.
And it does seem like they are. She doesn't yet know how to make a truly new marble. Like everyone is still, at least the Man in Black asserts, they're all copies of her.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
Which I think is also really interesting.
Yeah.
Man, there's so much that. What was. Who. Those people that William were talking to at the beginning, those were fly humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why was he talking to them? What were they being considered for?
I think William is questioning, you know, the Man in Black is questioning his own place in the universe, right? And that's why he goes to his human William counterpart at the end. I think these are, and they have the same voiceover, right? These are supposed to be connected scenes.
So like he's
talking to them to just try and figure shit out, essentially.
Yeah, like I want to talk to you actually meatbags and ask you some questions and see what your whole deal is.
Right? You think you have all this choice and control. It's not true. How do you... Because, I mean, he's questioning, like, how do I live in a world like this? Well, humans do it all the time. All the fucking time. So he's going to the source of... I think what's happening is he's going to the source of not giving a fuck enough to live, you know? Like when William's asking him at the end, do you want to kill yourself? Is that what you want? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's a question that humanity grapples with every day and keeps going, right? So...
Yeah, if you like, look at the sense of humor of like Gen Z, it's very much like, hey, I guess, you know...
More and more so, yeah.
Why not kill? Is killing yourself not a bad? Yeah, it's like this doesn't sound all bad. I just can stop worrying about shit. I can just make this stop. Yeah, no, it's pretty grim.
It's pretty grim. That humanity has grappled with for millennia, right? And so coming to us and asking like, what the hell? How do you guys do this? I feel like makes sense for a young consciousness.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it's a wonder any of us get through a day, right? Sometimes.
Yeah,
we're good days, I mean, days, but man, those bad days, you do wonder, like, what's the point?
Yeah, and then there's the also question about, like, you know, is it better to suffer intensely and just kind of like have to be forced to be in the moment, or is it better to be comfortable enough that you can comprehend the existential dread of it all? Probably the latter. Yeah. I would rather be that, you know, like in philosophical torment and literal. But they're both not there. But that's the thing. It's like we're just us primates are not equipped. They be having these conversations. We're really, like, right, as a society, blue screening on the implications of the shit that we've done. Like, we started growing wheat so we wouldn't starve and our babies would live long. And now we're fucking stapling shit in cubicles. What the fuck? No one made this, you know?
And I think that's the thing. At some point, we throw up our hands and go, ah, fuck it. I'm going to go eat a steak, right? This steak looks delicious. I'm going to go eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we
ignorance
feel better.
Is bliss.
We feel good enough to make it through another day.
Because I think that's interesting. Because, like, you know, we got mostly positive feedback about the philosophical questions. We got some people who are grumbling about it. But I found it interesting that, like, William was talking these, like, basic level questions about meritocracy versus, you know, and this guy couldn't go two dance steps with them before he's just, like, appealing to emotion, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like, this doesn't feel right. I don't like the implications of what you're saying and how it affects my worldview. It's like, well, that's not an argument, motherfucker. And like, right. William could probably go to 99 of 100 people before he'd meet somebody that could, like, even volley a couple times over that net. Mm-hmm. This episode, geez.
And then you tie it back in with, like, the idea that what brought about consciousness for these hosts is torment, right? And then William is
suffering.
Saying, well, if that's going to be what consciousness is and I have to be tormented all the time to truly feel conscious,
yeah,
why? What am I doing this for, you know? And I think that's the thing about Westworld. I'm hoping they do have some kind of, like, positive spin on this because I don't want it to just be all bleak. I don't think life is all bleak.
No, I bet
that,
yeah.
But they're setting that up, right? They have to have you question it and they have to have you go, man, there are times where this really sucks.
Yeah.
For you to also say, well, there are times where it's great too, and that's what you're living for.
The Empire must strike back before the Jedi can return.
Yeah, there's beauty, right? I mean, that's the other thing he says in those moments. There's beauty, right? There's an order.
Yeah.
And we like to believe that.
Going back to Christina's world, because the whole beautiful, the world's beautiful, that's Dolores talk. Mm-hmm. Is Dolores there as a host for the same reason the others are? Can every host mentally command humans, or is it just Dolores? Because I've also got, like, I think this is some, there's two possibilities. My first one, I think the one that's most likely is Haloris is keeping this version of Dolores, this pristine, innocent, hopeful version of prisoner, and tormenting her in the exact same reason she's keeping the human William on ice. Hmm. Just because what does it mean to win if you don't have a loser? And this is kind of like putting Dolores into some kind of permanent hell. The second is this Hale's attempt to recreate a pure version of herself, like an actual real daughter that's not based on herself, but based on, you know, the pure form of Dolores, and then put her through the exact same experience and see if she can, like, actually recreate her daughter. I don't know if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It generally makes sense, I think. I don't know. I still feel like I don't have enough information. We got so many answers this episode, but I still don't feel like I have a great grasp on why, right? I know a lot of what,
yeah,
but not a lot of why with Shaloris. I will say, I think that to some degree, all of the hosts can control the environment and the humans in it, because William does it, right? He forces that couple to stay at the table and wait for him. And
right.
Dolores is able to do it. Teddy knows that she can do it, and I assume he would be able to do it as well. Though maybe not. He might be like an outlier among hosts somehow.
Yeah, host outlier, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about it, like, going into this park and exerting your will would be part of the charms, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to get humans to go along with whatever, with your distractions from their loops, you'd have to have some sort of control over them.
Yeah. I think this wasn't a perfect episode. I think it did some stupid Westworld things. The most egregious is they set up a burly brawl.
Yes.
Like a Manhattan block against eight people. Uh-huh. And then they fucked around for, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes, and they came down and they just left the fight. Everyone was still on their feet. Nobody was like beat bloody. Like they just fought a block full of people. That's a self-inflicted gunshot wound, man. Don't set up a scenario where there's going to be 100v1 and then yada yada through the fight. Just set up like, you know, like there's a couple dudes. It's a pretty abandoned block. There's a couple people on benches. There's probably going to be a straggler more. There's a time limit before it gets to be too much. But like, I thought that's just dumb. Like, it's like this show. It's like they want. I felt like they wanted to do a big action scene and they just bailed on it. It's a crappy action scene.
It's a Westworld hallmark at this point.
Yes,
it's something that they do all the time.
Yeah, they set up something.
Other what the fucks, like these rebels know so much about the operation of this host park, and yet they don't have a way to test if you're a host. And
other than bringing in an infected human, then wait until they go, oh, when they walk in the range. Yeah.
Right. Or if they do have a way to do it, they don't do it immediately on every new stranger they encounter who comes to their camp wanting to get in to infiltrate the group.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, why have they not scanned Stubbs or Bernard yet?
Sure.
The other part of that being like, the Charlotte seems to have very close monitoring over every situation in the park, except she doesn't know where these rebels are at all times. Mm. And she knows they're in the city, but doesn't know like exactly where they are and how to stop them. And
until they got like right on top of the.
Right. And also like, it's the only boat in the water. It's literally the only boat in the entire Hudson here or wherever they are. They don't have any drones they could use to just shoot this thing out of the fucking water.
Well, not only that, but how in the hell do Teddy and her have that conversation and Hale doesn't hear every single word of it? Now, maybe she has and she's just playing coy because, you know, this Christina is her daughter and she's trying to, you know, be the strict. I don't know. It's weird.
So our hypothesis on how these rebels maintained their rebel status was that they were so far away from the signal, the source of the signal, the tower, that they were not influenced by it. But here they are practically rubbing up against the struts of the tower.
They have to be natural outliers. They have to be, right?
It's either natural out like a Caleb
or humans sort. Are no longer being infected, because that's the other thing is like they
would have to encounter flies in their day to day life.
But I think there's a certain percentage of people. That's the other flaw, like minor flaw, is that like so much of that Teddy Dolores was just straight up recycled Morpheus Neo.
Absolutely.
I'm like, oh my god, this
is a question the nature of your reality.
Yeah. But I mean it's hard. It's hard not to do that. Yes. But it's like, you know, the Matrix, you know, is definitive. Yep. But yeah, they have to be natural outliers and they must replenish just like the Matrix, they go into they jack in and they find the person through various tracking means, and then they go and retrieve them, and then they come back outside and they have to be educated about how they can use Kung Fu. And like, I think it's doing it's essentially yada yadaing that part of the Matrix to get at the more interesting moral and ethical questions. But like, I was a little nervous there for a minute, like, oh god, this is just the Matrix 20 years too late.
I think the Matrix wanted to be a really cool action movie with some mind bending twists. I think this wants to be the opposite.
Yeah. Min maxing in the other direction. And it stands on the shoulders of the Matrix. Like everyone kind of understands is like, instead of having to do like a 45 minute exposition scene, you can just have a 3 minute walk and talk with Teddy and like, oh, got it. It's the Matrix. The other thing I don't understand, and maybe we'll turn out, like, I thought that it was going to turn out that Dolores' supervisor is secretly Musashi Marble or Lawrence Marble. Can she just order around hosts? I mean, I guess she could.
Maybe. I don't know yet.
Because why would that human say all that shit
with a fly in his head, right?
But why would he say, why would the humans know and say all that shit? I didn't know that. And like act literally like a host. I thought that was.
Yeah, that's the strange thing to me, is that he knows information, more information about this game.
Yeah.
And the state of Shaloris's plans, because I don't know why you would give that information to a human infected with a fly.
So yeah, that's. Or maybe they can, but if someone took him over and was speaking through him, who was it? Because that's the other explanation, right. Is like someone just mentally hijacked him and I don't know.
Hello.
I'm going to posit that at the end that who did this to me, you did. That's just referring to Hale, right? It's not literally.
Roundabout way he could possibly answer that question. And it's only for the viewers who know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's pretty fucking cryptic, right? He's mm-hmm. trying to slow drip this information and trying to progressively blow her mind here.
Sure.
So when the inevitable follow-up comes, the fuck, will then start to, I guess, fill her in on her backstory.
Obi-Wan Kenobi-ing her. Well, from a certain point of view, you understand.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got lots more to say, but like, my God, we've been talking for 30 minutes. I'm sure there are people got questions and topics and stuff to mention in the instant talk portion. Of course, instant talk is just for club members. It's where you get to watch our instant show live, and anything that you put in chat, we can comment on. So if you got questions or you want to suggest topics or even workshop shops and theories, go ahead and type them in chat right now. If you'd like to participate in that, if you want to become a club member, it's really easy. Just go to support.baldmove.com. You can find out all the information as little as $5 a month. Get you ad-free feeds, access to premium content such as our full live instant shows and the instant talk part of the instant take. As well as other premium content like Lunch with Jim and Aaron or spoiler first run movie reviews, et cetera, et cetera. Off the clock, fabulous show where we talk about all the television we don't talk about on anything else. Support.baldmove.com. Everybody else, time to start instant talking.